Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
It's do or die, period. Here's what it is.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon, and welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for the 2019 regular season finale between the 12-3 New England Patriots and the 4-11 Miami Dolphins. Brady on the delayed handoff to Birkin, runs it right, finds a crease, bounces it outside, and cuts it inside the number 40, and then he dives to the 45-yard line. Rex Burkhead, I think, by Brady on a deep drop and a lot of time against a four-man rush. He throws it to the near side, picked off, and goodbye. Eric Rowe's going to take it to the house down the left side with a pick six. That's his first interception in the last 4 years in regular season play.
Keep goofing around.
Throws a long ball down the left side for Dorsett. Open! Makes the catch! Sliding at the 18! Back on his feet, a touch! Across the 10! A beautiful throw by Brady to Philip Dorsett.
Brady takes the snap, drops back, hands to Michelle.
Runs it through the left side, following Roberts into the end zone! Touchdown! Patriots! 25! He's gone! To the end zone! Touchdown! And Landon Roberts!
Football player right there, man!
Dumps it off for White. Into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots! He throws it to Edelman. Makes the catch. He's hit and throws it back toward Brady. Picks it up off the turf. Laterals it to James White, who tosses it back to Joe Twinney, who then shovels it back to Brady. Picks it up off the turf and scoops it to Benjamin Watson. He throws it to Edelman, who launches a pass off the hand of Brady. Caught by Twinney, who flips it back to Muhammad Sanu. Off to James White. The ball is loose. The Dolphins recover. A spoiler today.
What a win.
With one of the great upsets.
What an amazing win.
In recent NFL memory. Miami wins in Foxborough.
You weren't ready to go from a jump start today. And boy, did it show.
Everybody, good morning. We're at the Toucher and Rich radio program, and I am not in studio, and I am getting some feedback right here. My voice is coming back to me. But Adam Jones is here, and Joe Murray. Thank you. It's not happening anymore. Joe Murray is there, as is Adam Jones, and I'm sure very excited. Adam Jones, people very excited to hear his take on the game, his
big day,
positivity.
Fred. Big day, Fred.
His positivity going into this Saturday evening. So there you go. I hope you gentlemen. I am the one on the show who has not had ear surgery and who could manage his vacation days enough to have to do one last broadcast in 2019. But it is a day now, Jones. Now, Murray, first of all, before we get to the Patriots, I was looking at Twitter, and you were up very late over the weekend. Now, how did the how'd the betting go?
Overall, we went I went 8-3 this weekend.
Okay, how'd you do in the playoff?
Nailed the college playoff, and I had Clemson like you couldn't believe. Like, dude, they were down 16-0, and I was worried. And I was like, nah, and then Ohio State couldn't put them away. They kept chipping away. Trevor Lawrence all of a sudden looks like Tim Tebow. And it was a great, absolutely great game. So college playoff, we nailed LSU, Clemson, and then that dud of a game yesterday with the Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. But, yes, a great weekend for the Bankroll Boys.
All right, so Adam Jones, take us through what happened in the game.
Oh, well, what happened in the game? It was a wild, wild game yesterday, Fred. Kind of sleepy game, I would
say.
Did
they show up, Jones?
Well, No, not eventually. No, and really not to begin either. They were in an early 3-0 hole in the game yesterday. But hey, it's 3-0. It's the Dolphins. It's the final week of the year. They're going to win, right? Maybe not so much. Tom Brady kind of floating passes, not to his own teammates, except to the wrong team, including his former teammate Eric Rowe, which dug the Patriots in a bit of an early hole. Tracy, if we could get that handy. Yes, it would be a difficult situation for the Patriots early on after Tom Brady, again, with his 42-year-old weak arm, kind of flipping things out into the flat, right, well, Tracy, unable to get it to his teammates.
All right, Tracy, we'll save this audio. Okay, so now the thing is that you believe Brady's arm is weak. Do you think it's an injury, or do you think it's...
No. Do you look hurt against the Bills?
No.
No. So this every other week thing, it's like, oh, it comes and goes. Wow, this week he looks really injured. This other week he looks not so injured. So it's excuse making. I mean, I said this to you last time we were in, Fred. I don't think he's hurt. I think he's 42. So at some point, whether it's his arm strength or his decision making or his aversion to getting hit and not wanting to take the hits and hang in there on certain throws. I mean, that's what I think it is. I think all that accumulates. And that's not a knock on him necessarily. It's just he's 42. It's going to go at some point. And whether it's completely gone, we can debate. I don't think it's completely gone, but it's going. And it was starting to go last year. They were fortunate enough to win in spite of it. But it's gotten worse this year, and it's gotten worse as the season's gone on.
Fred, I think that the Patriots thought they could show up and just beat the Miami Dolphins yesterday. And they're just not good enough to do that anymore. They've always had outstanding coaching. They've always just somewhat been a smarter team. They can't show up and beat any team in the NFL anymore, any team. And if you look at their schedule this year, if you go through it all, how many playoff teams have they beaten this season, Jones, if you're off the top of your head?
The Bills twice. Bills twice and the Eagles, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
And everybody else was under 500 except who? The Dolphins. That's the only team that they lost to this year that was under 500. The rest of them were all the top three teams in the AFC. So right now they have problems beating good teams. And again, they could show up and beat anybody else in the league besides the Dolphins, but that's the problem. They think they can show up and beat anybody. You want to go into the Tom Brady stuff. Look at the receiving chart yesterday. Dorsett, 1 for 50. A Landon Roberts, the trick play. You had to throw that out again.
Yep.
Sanu sucks, 3 catches. James White, 3 catches. Harry, 3 catches. Like, can you get a receiver that gets more than 3 catches? And then where the hell was Julian Edelman, and what were they doing with that?
Were they protecting Edelman yesterday? Were they trying to, at some point, were they trying to quasi-protect him? He's in the game, but let's see if we can limit the damage that's done to him.
I think so, and I think that's I think that's silly the way they tried to do it. Like, if you're going to manage him, then manage him a little earlier when he's first, real dinged up. We were talking, again, not to keep referencing the last time we were in, but the last time we were in, we're watching the video of Julian Edelman trying to run through pregame or run through during the week. I forget what it was, and you could tell he was hurt. So why could he play 2 weeks ago? Why could he play a week ago? And now, when you're trying to wrap up seeding, now you're managing him. Like, you probably should have managed him then. And on top of that, they say all week, Fred, it's a playoff game. It's a playoff game. It's a playoff game. We're going to treat it like it's a playoff game. It's a huge game. Win this week. You get next week off, and then you're home, et cetera, right? Well, how can you tell everybody it's a playoff game and it's super important and then manage, one of your best playmakers on offense? I think that's mixed messaging, and I think – it's not maybe the reason they lost, but I'd put it somewhere on the list of coaching and the mixed messaging, because the team did come out flat yesterday. Joe asked that earlier. Were they ready to go? Were they ready to go? Were they on time? Did they show up? And they certainly didn't show up on time yesterday, and I think some of that mixed messaging may have played a part in it.
And the conservative play calling and all those kinds of things made it seem like they were managing everything. And then even the conservative play calling makes you think, what the hell were they thinking? Yeah. So,
and just to throw another thing out there, Fred, they played their former coordinator, Brian Flores, and Chad O'Shea is the offensive coordinator now for the Miami Dolphins. Late in the game, the Dolphins were in the red zone. Last year, Chad O'Shea was their red zone coach. He was their red zone coach. They were one of the top teams in the league in the red zone last year. Now, you can say Rob Gronkowski or not was a part of that. despite that, they were good in the red zone. This year, Patriots have not been good in the red zone. And what did the Dolphins do yesterday? They scored on the boogeymen, the greatest, one of the greatest defenses of all time. You let Ryan Fitzpatrick beat you with 40 seconds left in the game? That is putrid. You know, Bill Belichick lately against his assistants have flat out sucked. He's getting outcoached by former assistants, and guess what? You got another one coming in next week that's very hot, or former player, I should say. But to lose to that bunch of teams on week 17, a team that wanted to be at the beach, and you lost to them,
it's
pathetic.
They already are at the beach. Perhaps that explains things, is that they were already in Miami, and they said, let's play this last game. And you can't get down on Fitzmagic, baby. He'll take hits. He's a gunslinger.
He is.
It's funny. Fitzpatrick is great because he'll win you like three games, and then he'll lose you six. So but it was not the case yesterday. And I wish they referenced the beard more because you couldn't tell that he had it. Well, I'll tell you this, is that we'll go over everything that happened last night. We're talking to Jeff Howe this morning. We're going to talk to Michael Hurley. Now, Michael Hurley, I'm very much looking forward to.
Oh.
Because he is the anti-Jones.
Yeah.
Yes, Michael Hurley.
Yeah, he's very reasonable. He's very measured.
I just wonder if he's going to be in a case of just great despair this morning. Because I didn't even look at Twitter last night. But, there's got to be something. He's got to have an angle that somehow Miami had information, that they had Bluetooth in their ears. He's got to have something going on there Go ahead.
I'm not sure if he was happy with the refs, Fred. If you want to scroll through, I think he was upset with the offensive pass interference on Ben Watson. I think is something Hurley was a little perturbed about, I think.
Oh, the one that they reviewed?
Yes.
Why the hell is he upset about that? They reviewed it.
I don't know. They need an angle after yesterday, I guess.
Yeah, they threw a flag, picked it up, reviewed it, and then counted it.
Yeah, well, I think the issue would be that the league has it out for the Patriots and that it's all rigged. I think would be the issue.
Well, that will be funny. We'll take you through everything that happened last night with the Patriots. Your phone call 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and I will tell you that if you're unaware, the Patriots in, what is it, the biggest upset of, what context is that the biggest upset?
Gambling-wise, in the last 30 years, Washington did it once against, like, the Cowboys in, like, the early 90s, but this was, they were 17.5-point underdogs going into it, Fred. And they were some books in Vegas yesterday. They were plus 950, the biggest money line upset in the last 30 years.
Wow!
I saw this too. Brady was 30-0, and I don't know if this is regular season or postseason, but 30-0 as a 14-point favorite,
14 or more. Yep.
So never lost in that situation.
Well, at least they did it in an unimportant game.
Yeah. No, but seriously, I think that was what was most shocking to me. I mean, really, I'll flat out say they were up at half or tied at half, and I put in a bet. I thought the Patriots would run away with it second half.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little upset because of that. I lost that bet. But overall, like, that was the biggest upset in the last 30 years, and all you had to do was – and they lost at home. Like, I get it if it's in Miami, right? They've had so much difficulty there. Now it's time to take it seriously.
Yeah, the thing is that they would be, you know, Miami would score, and then the Patriots would counter, and you're just like, okay, now the game's over.
Yeah.
Now here the Patriots go, and it did not work out like that. All right, Mr. Jones,
yes.
Take us through
yes.
What happened yesterday.
Well, I thought I did a good job of vamping there and tap dancing earlier. I thought that was very professional of me. So let's start here with the Patriots down 3-0. It's a sleepy Sunday. Who cares? You're only half watching. It's the last game of the year. They're not going to lose to the Dolphins, right? And then a little noodle arm Tom Brady there tries to float one out to the flat. And next thing you know, it's 10-0.
With Edelman split right, play fake by Brady on a deep drop and a lot of time against a four-man rush. He throws it to the near side, picked off, and goodbye. Eric Rowe's going to take it to the house down the left side with a pick six. That's his first interception.
in the last 4 years in regular season play, and he does it at his old home stadium here in New England.
Keep goofing around. Keep goofing around. Now, Sanu's running a deep drag there. I don't blame him for not throwing it to it. He sticks with Edelman. This is what happens when you lose the trust of a quarterback.
Oh, so yeah. Zoe, a lot of the claws are out there for the goofballs, as he put it there, with the Patriots and the way they're playing, and for specifically Sanu, which I know you feel strongly about.
Oh, I just think Sanu is the worst acquisition they've ever had in their lives.
Compared to Sanders, who's been awesome for San Francisco.
It's funny, I was talking to my dad, and my dad's like, oh, they don't have anyone to throw to, or they don't have any skill position players. And then if you go through who they have, they gave up a second for Sanu. Sony Michel is a first-round pick.
Yep.
N'Keal Harry is a first-round pick. Obviously, Edelman is who Edelman is.
Dorsett, one catch yesterday, 50 yards.
Dorsett, a former first-round pick. And it's like, well, that's on them. And then there's this whole argument. It's like, oh, well, they don't have Gronkowski. Well, neither does anyone else.
Right.
Like Gronkowski's gone. People retire.
You don't have the greatest tight end of all time just lying around? Huh. That's weird.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, they would have done this and they would have done that if they had Gronkowski. Okay. You know, well, the Jets would have won every game this year if they had Joe Montana. I mean, like, that's the thing is that, even okay, say Brady doesn't have the
weapon. Gase would ruin Montana. You know that.
Yeah, well, look at what Tannehill's doing. All right, so, but if you, it's funny because it's like, it's not like they didn't try. That's completely on the organization. You can't just say, oh, well, Brady doesn't have anyone to throw. I mean, they've invested a tremendous amount of draft capital in skill positions, and just hasn't worked out. So
I'll tell you what, they got a new weapon. If you ask me, Fred, they got a new weapon. The offense could be turning around now because they got guys on defense playing offense, and that brought a little life to the stadium yesterday.
4.5 minutes to go in the third. Offset eye. Roberts to the right of Michel. First and 10 from the 30. Brady drops back against the book. Throws it to Roberts. Makes the catch at the 30 to 25. He's gone to the 10, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. And Landon Roberts.
Football player right there, man. Feed the kid.
Landon Roberts with the touchdown there. I'll tell you, this is probably what makes me a bad person, because all I could think about on that touchdown was how awful the throw was from Brady. Like, everybody's going nuts for a Landon Roberts. That was a borderline amazing catch for a linebacker, because that throw from Brady was horrendous.
Yeah, they have resorted to a great amount of trickery.
Yes.
Yes, that seems to be the new
thing.
It's
all they have. They have nothing else.
It's just desperation.
So they were able to, work things a little bit here. They're down. They're trailing. It was 17-17. After that Roberts touchdown, the Dolphins tack on a field goal. But still, you're like, okay, 8 minutes to go. Patriots are going to be fine. And ultimately, they cash in and take the lead a little under 4 minutes left, 3:53. James White gets into the end zone.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Drops back, rolls right, dumps it off for White. Runs to the 10, gets a good block to the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. That is a great block by Shaq Mason. Cut down a defender in the open field to bring James White to the score.
So now less than 4 minutes to go. Patriots are fine. Yeah, look, the last week, Josh Allen got close to putting the Bills over the top. We've seen this a million times with the Patriots. Dak Prescott earlier this year in the Cowboys game in the crappy weather in Foxborough. We've seen the boogeyman. We've seen the greatest defense of all time, as a lot of Patriots fans like to refer to it earlier this year. And look, even if the defense has slipped a little bit, they still have, Fred, the quote-unquote trademarked defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore,
right? That was crazy yesterday.
He's going to shut him down. There's no way they can make plays on quote-unquote the defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore, and quote-unquote the greatest defense of all time, right? And Ryan Fitzpatrick goes 13 plays, 75 yards, hits Mike Gesicki, and the Patriots lose with less than 30 seconds to go.
In motion right to left. Jonathan Jones tries to keep up with him. Gesicki to the right. Fitzpatrick takes the snap. He's looking to the middle. He throws to the back of the end zone. Caught by Gesicki.
What a try.
Touchdown, Miami. 24 seconds to go. And the Dolphins have taken the lead.
What an unbelievable drive by Miami. Credit Chad O'Shea and Ryan Fitzpatrick. More importantly, Devontae Parker. Phenomenal playmaker down the side to get it going on a big 29-yarder. Gesicki, the pass-receiving tight end, with the big touchdown catch to take the lead late.
Yeah, so the play he referenced there, and the one we were kind of pseudo-referencing, was Parker going over Gilmore on a second and 12 for 29 yards up the sideline. That was right after the two-minute warning. That's when you kind of knew, okay, if Gilmore's not making stops and Parker's doing that and Fitzpatrick is running around with, I don't know if they pointed it out or not, his beautiful beard on the broadcast yesterday.
No, they did.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did.
I must have been.
More than one occasion.
I must have flipped over to Red Zone when they did that. So Parker makes that play and you're like, okay, maybe the Dolphins really are going to get this done. And ultimately they did.
Yeah, and it was hard to imagine that happening. And then when you say the boogeymen, and I just think of Kyle Van Noy, and at least McCourty shut him down and said, all right, let's not do this. But when you think of how they were going to, you know, I pictured in their heads, we're going to have boogeyman shirts, and we're the boogeyman, and ooh, boogeyman. Because even when they were playing well, you thought, oh, boy. And now that's an embarrassing thought. Now that's when you lose to Miami, that's an embarrassing thought now. That at one point you were going to label yourself something.
Yeah. Well, even Gilmore yesterday. And I know he wasn't one of the boogeymen. So, you know, Van Noy and all those other Hightower, I guess. Was Hightower the one who said it in the first place? I think Hightower was the one who kind of put it out there, and then Kyle Van Noy loved it or something like that.
All I know is that when Sam Darnold
we'll need an oral history on the boogeyman is what we're going to need at some point. We're going to have to go back in 3,000 words on The Athletic or something and get a get an oral history on the brief tenure of the boogeyman. But, you know, Gilmore got shredded yesterday too, which is probably the most problematic thing that happened.
Now, do you guys see that happening again? Because I don't. I think that's just a one-time thing.
I kind of do.
AJ Brown, did you watch him?
So Brown, and Corey Davis kind of stinks, but
lit him up last year.
He ate up Gilmore in Tennessee last year. So I think, Fred, if it wasn't Vrabel next week, and Vrabel's not a former assistant, as Joe said earlier, it's a ex-player, but same idea. He knows everything the Patriots do and want to do on defense and how teams should attack them, how they don't want to be attacked. Vrabel went at Gilmore last year, and Flores and O'Shea went at Gilmore yesterday. And I think that's a big thing. I'm not saying Gilmore's going to get eaten alive, but you can't be afraid to go at him because you can make plays on him. The Bills proved that. John Brown had a big touchdown catch against him the week before. You can't be afraid to go at him. You got to attack him. And I think the Titans should and probably will do that on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't know, just how well he played. They might go after him, but just how well he played, I don't know if there's a situation like this again. But who knows? I mean, it's not like he was playing, you know, Drew Brees out there. So,
and Fred, just to throw this out there, the line opened up at 5.5. It's now down to 4. Ooh. So, you know, Vegas thinks the Patriots should win this game at home. Based off the way that both teams are playing right now, the Titans are an absolute buzzsaw. Tannehill is probably one of the hottest quarterbacks in all of the NFL. A.J. Brown right now might be one of the hottest receivers in all of football. I do think that they're weak at corner. You know, they lost Malcolm Butler at one point. I'm not sure what Logan Ryan's still playing or not. But my whole thing is I don't think the Patriots have any skill players. Like, actually players that can do any – like a Deion Lewis type is what I mean by skill players. I don't think they have one on offense. But can they – they have a history of playing Ryan Tannehill. So is that something that could help them? And does playing at home mean anything to this Patriots team anymore? I guess that's going to be the big question this week.
I mean, Tannehill's unstoppable now. Now that he's under the tutelage of someone besides Gase, he is unstoppable. I always said he had the tools of being a good quarterback. And now finally, after 10 years or whatever it's been, I've been justified.
Well, his athleticism's off the chart. He made a throw yesterday on the run. We always knew he was an athlete, but that's something the Patriots struggle against, right? Is mobile quarterbacks. They're gonna see another one this week. Fred, we can do this exercise later in the show, but I think we should rank how the quarterbacks in the AFC finished this year. Rank them in order. We can do that later on, but just so you know, the Jets did finish the final 8 games of the year at 6-2.
Oh, yeah, they looked great.
And you know who they lost to, right? You know,
I loved how they played yesterday, yeah.
But you know who they lost to,
the Bengals.
Right?
Yeah.
Bengals and the Ravens. The best team in the league and the worst team in the league.
Oh, well, it looks
any given Sunday, as they say, right?
Sky's the limit. I mean, you rank the quarterbacks in the AFC East. All right, when we come back, we have some audio from the Titans, also some other things that happened in the NFL yesterday. It's Toucher and Rich, Adam Jones and Joe Murray sitting in, me from the beautiful banks of Lake Teleco in eastern Tennessee. I'm sure everyone's very jealous of the 50-degree weather.
Ooh, what is it like out there in Tennessee right now? Is there a buzz at all?
Dude, they're in the middle of nowhere. They're nowhere near National.
No football.
No tightening up or anything.
It is if University of Tennessee is not doing it, no one knows what it is. The games that they had on yesterday locally were Lions, Green Bay,
ooh,
in Kansas City. Kansas City, and I forget who they play. Kansas City Chargers. They Green Bay and the Lions as their Fox game. So there you go. All right, so we will be right back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5.
The Titans rallied behind Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and an offense that was this team's best in 16 seasons. And they have now made the postseason and will travel to New England next weekend. Playoffs? Yes. For the second time in 3 years, the Titans are going to the playoffs, because your final here today in Houston, Tennessee 35, Houston 14. As the Titans come to the Lone Star State and get it done again.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're touching the Rich. Does Murray got something?
Oh, yeah. We got to pay some bills here, Fred. Time and temperature brought to you by Dodge Power Dollars. 37 degrees at 636. Get Dodge Power Dollars with a new Dodge vehicle purchase. The math is simple. For every horsepower of your new vehicle, you'll get $10 off. If you're peeling out in a new Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye, you just got $7,970 off.
I am in my underwear. I am broadcasting. I guess I could do it in my underwear at the studios.
Sure.
I mean, it's an entirely male staff in the morning.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I could do it from 6 to 8 in the morning and then retrieve pants and put the... Oh, no. No, there's a bunch of females that are at the other stations. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But, yes, I am in my underwear. If what? Ladies out there are listening... It is quite a scene.
How did you end up doing this from Tennessee?
Oh, I spent $4,000 on a machine.
No, I thought you were going to be a little closer to home. I didn't realize you were going to be that far away.
Oh, yeah.
For this broadcast today.
Yeah, leaving today.
Ah.
So, yes.
So, are you like in a room away from the family? Like, can they hear you talk?
I'm sure they can hear me talk. My son's already been down here. So, yeah. This is an interesting experiment going on right now.
Yeah, how's Milo feel about Tom Brady? Is he a fan?
No. But he did say Mookie Betts was his favorite baseball player, so we have to have a discussion.
I was going to say, that's going to be you're going to need a new one.
Yeah. Now, did you guys go? What did you guys do for the holidays?
I was here. Did you go away, Joe? I think you went away.
I did. I was at the in-laws in Charlotte, so kind of down, I think, not too far from where you are, Fred.
That is not too far. Now, do you get along with your in-laws?
Yes. Well, you know, usually at the beginning, then by the end of the trip, sometimes it's you're ready to get out of there, I would say.
Now, can you be yourself around them, or do you feel like you have to hide?
Again, I think that changes the longer you're there. You know, up front, like when you first get there, I feel like you can definitely be yourself. By the end, I'm hiding a little bit more. I'm on my phone a little bit more. I'm running away and trying to ditch the kid off with the in-laws and hiding in various places. Yeah.
Now, do they have a big enough house where you can hide somewhere?
They got some space in their place. So you can kind of ditch off. They kind of have a half of the house, you know, where they are, and, you know, kind of living with the living room and everything, and then the bedrooms are kind of tucked away. Plus there's outside. Like, it's nice. Like, you're out. Like, it's not like here right now where you can't be outside. Like, you can go separate yourself outside. You can go wander around. So, yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound like much fun. You're just wandering around.
Yeah, outside. Well, yeah, sometimes you'll take it. You know, sometimes it's better than the alternative. You just kind of wander around and say,
"Yeah, I can just go outside, wander around,
see
what it's doing."
Not so bad. Yeah.
Hey, look, there's a tree.
Hey, look, there's a pond.
Yeah, because my father-in-law's house where we go for Thanksgiving, he has a basement that no one ever uses. And my daughter and I, because my son wasn't interested, my daughter and I watched literally 6 hours of The Office. Just over and over and over again.
That's good.
We're just hiding.
That's not so bad. See, we didn't have a TV in our there's no separate TV at the in-laws, so that is a problem.
What are they, Amish?
I don't know. They have, so this is not a joke. They have TV. They just recently moved into this place. Not that recent, like 4 months ago. And they have a bunch of TVs uninstalled. So they have like I'm not joking, like a closet of like two or three TVs that they haven't yet set up in like guest rooms and things. And so that was a problem.
Oh, I'd be right on that.
Yeah. So you'd install, because I'm not very handy.
Well, neither am I. I can't do anything, but I'll figure it out. I'll MacGyver it.
Just set up a TV. I'll set up a TV on the ground, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly what I would do.
Just wires everywhere and just leave it. Yeah,
yeah. I'm gonna figure you get a couple stations at least. Yeah. So yeah, that's exactly what I would do.
Okay,
I would be able to do anything if it could kill time. Like I'd be able to make a little space rocket. I could do whatever.
So that's what I should have done. I should have set up the TV just on the ground with wires everywhere. That's a good point. I don't know why I didn't do that.
Well, because you were too busy wandering around the neighborhood.
That's true. I wanted to see their property for a 15th time, you know, wandering around.
Yeah, you just walk around, get a walking stick, have fun.
Yeah, be one with nature. You know, that's me. Go check out. They kept telling me there's blue herons in the pond out there. I'm like, okay, I saw them. I got it. Well, you see one, as I always say, you've seen one blue heron, you've seen them all, you know?
Well, that's not true. The beauty of each individual blue heron is like a snowflake.
I gotta get back. You've been down there much more than I have, so I gotta get a little greater respect for the nature down there, the wildlife.
Yeah, that's right. I've never been to Charlotte in my life except for that horrible airport.
Yeah,
where it takes an hour and a half to get to your actual plane. So yeah, I had that. This is the first year. You know, my parents were in town for Halloween.
Oh boy!
And it was the first time ever that my mother left and was legitimately pissed at me.
Oh.
So I went to their house, and I've been at their house, and there has not been one argument. I've kept things at a very stable level.
Yeah, well, you hide out and watch The Office, so that makes sense. That's good.
Well, that
everyone.
Was at my father-in-law's house, but the thing is at my parents' house, they have the same kind of situation. They have a downstairs with a TV that they never use.
Yeah.
So there is that room. Now, where they're staying at my house, everyone's crammed together.
Yeah,
we literally have, like, one sectional, and that's pretty much the only place you can sit. So that doesn't work too well with six people.
No.
One of whom's my father, who just lays on the couch and doesn't realize that anyone else would possibly want to sit down. So, and there is a TV up on the third floor where they stay. There's a TV and a couch, but no one ever goes up here. No one ever goes up to that area. And it just...
Well, they don't want to miss anything, I'm sure. You know, lots of stuff is happening. They don't want to miss anything.
Because who would fight if there's six people in a room that has one couch, one sectional?
Right.
It's impossible. It's like a science experiment. And my mother doesn't understand. So, you know, she's like, oh, well, this is a very nice visit. I go, you have space to get away for 5 seconds. You have space where I get up in the morning and I'm not immediately greeted by 18 people making coffee. Because their whole situation is driving me crazy. They can't find anything. Because we don't drink coffee, and so there's a whole big production about finding the coffee.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
I can see that. They're up when they stay with us. They're up very early, and so you know we're up on the early-ish side with the year and a half old. But you know they're up early. They're old, and so they're up early, and they're like rattling around, and they don't know where the coffee is. They don't know how to make the coffee. Yeah, that actually is a production.
Well, my parents are living the life. Like, my dad will sleep until, like, 1 in the afternoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now that he's got nothing retired? He has to do. Oh, he's been retired for a while.
No, they're retired, and they're up, you know, they're up early. They're ready
to
go.
What are you going
to
do?
I don't know. Well, there's a look at the wander around the yard, I think. Get a new walking stick. Check out the next blue heron, because, again, each one, as you said, they're like snowflakes. Each one's very different and very majestic. So
What do they do?
Okay, I imagine that's what you take in.
Okay, they're both retired.
Yep.
All right, so what do they do all day?
This is a good question. I don't know. They make coffee early. I know that.
So they just make coffee and they're kind of just around?
Yeah, they kind of sit around, crack a bottle of wine around noon. That's usually how it goes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Because that's very good for you.
Yeah.
Because there's no judgments on the drinking.
Oh, no. So that's they're very loose with that. There's a lot. They're encouraging drinking early, which is good. They're recently retired.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, then there you go. That's the ideal situation. It's not like my father-in-law who sits there like a hawk waiting to see if you're drinking his alcohol.
Ah, oh, it's his alcohol, I can see. You're dipping in. He's kind of making little lines on the bottle, that sort of thing.
Well, it's not that he doesn't want you to drink. It's that he doesn't want you to drink his stuff.
Right.
So, you know, because Lord knows, it's just this, it's a wine cellar from the finest of French restaurants. It's like Ménage à Trois wine. It's, you know, $9 a bottle. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
The guy's worth $5 billion.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's replaceable.
Oh, well, so you were very fortunate.
Yeah.
Drinking at noon, now that kills the day.
That'll kill the day. Sometimes it makes the day really drag, but yeah, it'll kill the day. It kills the first part of the day.
Yeah, but they're probably in a good mood.
Yeah. They're
loosening up.
They're having a nice time.
All right. When we come back, we can talk about what is going on in Cleveland. Well. What is going on in Cleveland? The fabulous Baker boy is not exactly lit the world on fire. We will talk about that, and I will have a very, very good time discussing that in just a moment. .985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, Adam Jones, Joe Murray in studio, as we are the only people awake right now in all of Boston. It would seem.
Fred, it is dark outside here. Like, oh, yeah? Dark, and the weather sucks, and we're having some sort of wintry mix of something.
Yeah, roads were light. I can never tell, though, because I'm never in at this time of day. So roads seem light, though. Not a lot of people up and around.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to get up, isn't it?
Yeah, is it bad? I liked it. Yeah, it's been pretty good.
I wanted to wake up and crap on the Patriots. That felt good.
Is it bad that I just walked down and up the stairs to get water and I came up winded from walking upstairs?
I'll tell you, this is not a joke. I would say that's not great, by the way. this is not a joke. I had to go up a belt size over this little break.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I don't think it was like because I ate too much specifically in this week. I think it's been like a cumulative thing. And I was like, I don't know that I'm getting that belt.
A belt size or like a hole in the belt?
A notch in the belt is
what
I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to go up a notch. I'm up to, I'm in the middle notch now. There's five notches. I'm now in the middle.
Wow.
And I don't like it.
Yeah, that about a year and a half ago, clothes started to not fit.
The clothes are they're getting a little snug, but they fit. But the belt notch, I was like, okay, you fat bastard, it's time to start doing something different with your life, because that's not.
I was coming to work one day and I sat down in the car and a belt and the buckle on my pants just flew off.
It's your Sandoval one.
Yeah, I did. I Sandoval.
Oh no.
Yeah, there's got to be some lifestyle changes, Adam.
Yeah, I'm not winded going up one flight of stairs yet. Maybe two. Maybe
no,
two.
No, it's two flights of stairs.
Oh, okay.
So
there you go. That's not too bad of a situation yet.
Technically three.
Oh.
So, if you wanted to get technical about it. Now, one of the...
are they the ones where you go, are they all just straight up, or do you go and then kind of get like a level off and then you go up the next one?
You get a little
level. Oh, well, there you go. Add that. That's some walking.
Well, at first...
That's almost like four.
In fairness, one flight is like three stairs. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's not a good situation. Nor is it in Cleveland.
Oh no,
because in Cleveland, they got Odell Beckham Jr., they got Jarvis Landry, they had Myles Garrett. They were ready to rock. They had a promising young quarterback, a guy who does it. Listen, man, he might not have the best physical tools, but he's got the intangibles, something that you can't teach.
Yep.
He's got a little something called attitude.
Swagger.
He takes his, yep, that's right. He takes his picture in front of a white Lamborghini with a tiger in front of him. He's got every commercial on television. The man's name is Baker Mayfield, and guess what Baker Mayfield did? He got his coach fired. Yes, indeed. Here's Freddie Kitchens.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. We've got meetings scheduled through next week, and I'm looking forward to, you know, going to work tomorrow. I truly don't buy into the speculation stuff. I'll work and I show up tomorrow and do the best job I can do for the Browns tomorrow.
Well, you don't have to worry about it. At least they did him the service of not making him come in at like 5 in the morning. What coach got fired?
Yeah. Who was that last year? You're right. Who had to show up? Like the next day, I had to take the.
Oh, no, it was Jay Gruden, right?
Is that who it was? Yeah, he's right. It was earlier this year. He's right. It was Jay Gruden. Yeah.
It was Dan Snyder's fire. Yeah. Yes. So, Jay, they made Jay Gruden come in at like 6 in the morning so they could fire him, at least Freddie Kitchens. But I guess he was very emotional when he talked to Ian Rappaport. Oh. But if you want to hear about a badass who just lost to Cincinnati, here is Baker Mayfield getting into it with a fan. Is that the best reaction to a player? Is that the most disrespectful thing that you could do?
What?
To tell the player, literally, come up here.
Come up here!
Because you know we can't go down there.
Yeah.
I thought that was the opening of Armpits of America for a second there.
It did sound like that.
It did.
But just the idea of the just, he goes, why don't you come down here? And the guy goes, no, I can't. You come up here.
Yeah.
And then I'm perfectly willing to fight you.
Yeah. Just come on up.
You scare me not at all physically. So
he's just a little bit of a guy, that Baker Mayfield. You can tuck him in your pocket. So that makes
Isaiah Thomas will walk right into the stands.
That's
true. Baker's just, you come here.
But, you know, Isaiah Thomas walks into the stands because the guy's like screaming and yelling at him. Yeah, he'll walk into the stands just with because usually when the athlete confronts the fan, like in the case of Isaiah Thomas, they always say they're sorry. They always kind of, you know, they always turtle. But, I mean, this sounded like there was about, like, three guys.
And they're like, come on up.
And they're like, we're going to kick the crap out of you. So Baker Mayfield can't even use the excuse, because fans can be out of line and they can say things. And he can't use the excuse of, well, you know, they're so tough up there, but they won't come down. No, I'm more than willing to fight you. So... are we all in agreement that Baker Mayfield is not the quarterback that everyone thought he was going to be?
Yeah, so I have a bit of a mea culpa. We do, you know, this very outside-the-box radio thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before. We do some preseason predictions on the night program, right?
Ah.
Not only do we do, like, team predictions, we do individuals. Very, very groundbreaking. And my MVP this year, Fred, I shudder to mention it, but my preseason pick for MVP, one Baker Mayfield.
Ooh, why?
Great rookie season. I got to be honest, I bought into some of the Browns hype, so I'm very dumb. I'm a big, giant idiot. But but I thought he would build on that, and I thought with all of the weapons, I wasn't sure that the Browns, you know, would be, as a team necessarily would live up to the hype, but I thought the offense would. So, I said that was my preseason pick for MVP. Plus, it's boring to take, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers or something or Brees.
Right.
You got to go outside the box. Just I may have gone a little too far outside the box.
I just think it's so funny when they got Odell Beckham Jr. that people were like, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So wait, what's your thing on the Browns? Because I got a lot of Fred shrapnel last night where they're like, oh boy, it's going to be all dumping on the Patriots and Fred taking victory laps on the Browns. So I'm pleading a bit of ignorance here. What's your thing on the Browns?
I hate Baker Mayfield as an athlete. I hate him. He said, what does he say? He said, like, today I'm feeling a little dangerous. And then he went and he said, what was the last thing that he said? Oh, mama didn't raise no whatever it was, no wuss.
Yeah.
Mama didn't raise a wuss.
Yeah.
When he was asked about an injury. And I just think that he's undersized and that this whole BS about, oh, you know, it's the intangibles, and you should have seen the way that he led his team, and da-da-da-da-da, and he's grabbing his nuts and when he's in college.
Yeah,
and
planting the flag in the ground.
Yeah, planting the flag in the ground, and like, oh, this is so great. And I'm like, how would that possibly translate into the NFL? Like, what about that? What about those intangibles? Like, can you think, and you probably can, but I can't off the top of my head. Think of a guy in the NFL that's like a quarterback that's just like super hyped up. All maybe Philip Rivers, but like that.
Yeah, Rivers is a good one, and he's. I mean, he doesn't. I say a lot. He sucks, but he's just very overrated. But he's one. It's not Brady. No, I mean you're right. Normally they're pretty flatline. You know, I mean Brady in early in his career was kind of that, but not for the last, I don't know, 15 years or something like that.
See, strangely enough, when he got really good.
Right.
I still think Baker Mayfield can be good in this league.
You do?
Yeah, I know. Of course.
So you think that's a hot job? Like, do you think people are going to want that job?
Yeah. Josh McDaniels, Urban Meyer, Mike McCarthy, all those guys are listed all over that.
Well, McCarthy doesn't have a job, so that one makes sense. I don't think McDaniels or Meyer would take that job. I don't.
Well, McDaniels wouldn't take any job.
Yeah, true. Right.
He McDaniels might is petrified.
Yeah, well, yeah. According to Bert Breer, the only two jobs he wants to go to are either Carolina or Cleveland. And he's from that area, I believe.
His dad was a high school coach there. I mean, if those are the jobs, then I think he's taking Carolina, or he's not going, like Fred said. But I don't know how hot of a job that is right now, because as high as I was on Mayfield, I would have big reservations, especially the way they roll through coaches there. They're going to roll through another one.
Well, I just looked at he didn't go to Indianapolis, but now he wants to go. I don't know that guy. I don't even know why he's such a big candidate. You don't like him, Murray.
McDaniels? I think he's overrated. I think he's a product of Tom Brady and his system. And personally, I don't think he'd be a good head coach. He won one big game in his life. That was against the Patriots in Denver. And he drafted Tim Tebow in the first round. That's really all I can say about that.
All right. There'll be no commercials here, just the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21+. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.